This is chapter 39. We're going to continue on in our story about Joseph today. Title of this morning's message is Victory Over Temptation. Victory Over Temptation. How do you deal with temptation? We're all going to be tempted. We're all going to be tempted by the devil to sin. And the problem is, so many of us just plan on sinning, so we don't deal with the temptations. There was a story told. One day a father said to his son, "Now, son, don't swim in the canal." The son said, "Okay, Dad." But he came home later that day carrying a wet bathing suit. Dad says, "Where have you been?" Son said, "Swimming in the canal." He said, "Didn't I tell you not to swim there?" The father and the son said, "Yes, sir, you did." He said, "Why did you do it?" He said, "Well," he said, I took my bathing suit with me and I couldn't resist the temptation. The dad said, "Well, why did you take the bathing suit with you?" He said, "Well, I wanted to be prepared to swim when I got tempted." But, you know, the truth is there's many people that live that way. They expect to sin and they live their lives in such a way that they do not actually try to avoid temptation, instead to excite sin. And they make it much easier for them to fall. And that's not the case for Joseph in this story here this morning, but it's a case in many Christians' lives. They've already given up. They live a defeated Christian life. They think it's just normal and common to sin and just not fight and combat against it. And that's not what the Bible teaches us at all. And in this story here, we got a story about a young man, probably somewhere in the age of 18, 19 years old, faced with a great temptation. He's already been faced with a lot of temptations. You can imagine, as a young man being thrown into the pit, sold into slavery, he would be tempted to be bitter. He would be tempted maybe to think that the future's gone and maybe don't want to work hard, maybe don't like where he's at and just gives up and, you know, becomes rebellious and maybe tries to run away as being the slave and things like that. But not Joseph here. And you see in the story this morning that Joseph has a powerful testimony. God's able to bless him. God's able to use him. And he's able to overcome this temptation. And since we all deal with temptation, I thought it'd be good that we look at this thought, victory over temptation. Let's read here verses 1 through 12 in Genesis 39. The Bible said, Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Remember, why is he in Egypt? His brothers who hated him could not even speak peacefully to him, threw him in a pit, and then decided to sell him as a slave. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. Now, I want you to think about Potiphar. Potiphar here is part of the brass of the army. He's very high up. He says he's captain, officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. I think he's one of the highest up military men in Egypt. And he saw this young slave that was probably handsome, but also in good physical condition, knowing that he could use him. He takes in. I'm sure he probably had first dibs in a sense. He required all. He got the best of everything because of his position that was there. He bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, verse number 2, and the Lord was with him. And I mean, that's an amazing thought that's going to be part of the message this morning. And we're going to see that as we get through the story of Joseph's life. You know what? God is good. God is always with us as believers. And even to a step farther, Joseph lived his life believing that God was with him. There's a difference between us knowing and believing that God is with us. Because if we believe God is with us and we live consciously in the presence of God, boy, there are some things that we would stop doing. There's some things that we would start doing if we always remembered that the Lord is with us. Let's keep on going. The Lord was with him, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. So you see his testimony here. Not only was the Lord with him, not only did he know it, but others saw that God was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his whole house. Now this is a Hebrew slave here, and to be able to have the oversight of the entire house is an exalted position. And all that he had, he put into his hand. He gave Joseph and let him control everything that was in his hand. Listen how much he trusted Joseph. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. This is how much Potiphar trusted him, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. He trusted him so much he did not have an accounting way that someone wasn't there to keep him accountable. He could have done whatever he wanted to, but because of his character, Potiphar knew he could trust him. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You say, well, the story sounds like it's going great. As good as a slave can do. Remember, he's been ripped from his family. He's miles away. Verse number 7. And it came to pass that after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Now, once again, this man in this tradition and in this culture, an older man that would have been high up ranking military, would have had a younger, much very attractive wife. So I want to kind of put that in that perspective as you see the temptation. It says that she cast her eyes upon Joseph and she said, lie with me. She wanted to have sexual relations with him. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her and to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph is faced with this great temptation, and he said no. And this is a wonderful story to teach us how to have victory over temptation. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, we truly, desperately need to hear from you. Lord, as a believer, we are tempted all the time to sin. Lord, and the problem is many of us live a defeated life because we give into that sin thinking we have no choice. Thank you for the example of Joseph here. Thank you for other passages of scriptures that teach us, Lord, we can have victory. And Lord, I pray that tonight, this morning, we leave this place rejoicing that we can have victory over temptation, and we apply this to our hearts and we apply this to our lives to the point where we begin to steadily have victory over temptation. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things I want you to remember this morning about victory over temptation. First thing I want you to remember is, remember the Lord is with you. Remember the Lord is with you. What does that have to do with anything? Well, there's a couple things that we can remember. If we remember the Lord is with us, that means that we're a believer. The question is the Lord with you today? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior? If you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? And see, Joseph, he knew that the Lord was with him. And because he knew the Lord was with him, it changed the way in his perspective of looking things. And you say, well, why in the world does it matter if the Lord is with me when we come to victory over temptation? Truth is, we need God's help. We need God's help when it comes to temptation. Think about what we were before we became a Christian. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He said we were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What the Bible teaches us is that without Christ, before you become a Christian, the Bible says we're children of wrath. The Bible says that we fulfill the lusts of our flesh. We fulfill the desires of our flesh. We walk not according to the ways of God, according to the ways of the Bible, and have victory over temptation. But instead, we walk according to the ways of this world, and we're children of disobedience. But a believer, he says something different about, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. But the Bible says once you become a believer, you have been crucified with Christ, your sins have been dealt with and been nailed to the cross, and now we have the opportunity to have victory. It means that we can have victory over temptation, but we need God's help. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And 2 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taking you but what such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, what are you getting at? If you want to have victory temptation, you need to realize that God is with you. Realize that God is with you all the time. Realize that he's there. Joseph has a powerful testimony. Because he knows God is with him, he trusted in God. He trusted in his plan. Nowhere do you see Joseph whining here. Nowhere do you see Joseph sulking here. Nowhere do you see Joseph sitting there saying, woe is me because of the circumstances of my life. Woe is me because my brother sold me. Woe is me because they threw me in the pit. Woe is me because they took me and they put me in Potiphar's house. What most of us would have done, we would have been tempted to be bitter. We would have tempted to be lazy, say, I'm not supposed to be here. It's not fair that I'm here. It's not fair that no one cares and no one loves me. But Joseph knows God is with him. Joseph knows that God has a plan. Joseph knows that he can continue on serving, he can continue on working and continue on doing his best, not because it's what Potiphar deserves, not because of the fact that he wants to try to become the ruler and captain of Potiphar's house. No, he does it because God is with him. And he knows that everything he does, he wants to please the Lord. And he wants to do what God would want him to do in the situation. And if we would remember that God is with us all the time, it would change the way we live our lives. See, men saw that God was in his walk. Men saw that Joseph lived differently than the Egyptians. They marked him as different. Those who were around him saw the difference. And the truth is, can man see the difference in you? Potiphar saw the difference. It said that he saw that the Lord was with him. He gave him everything and he put him everything in God and Joseph's hand. He saw that the Lord was with him. He found grace in his sight. You know what? There are certain things that we should not be doing because God is with us. Let's just think about it. There are certain things that we would not do with other people around. But do we forget that God is with us all the time? You know, maybe there's somewhere you say, well, I'd never go there with a pastor because it really isn't an appropriate place. Or I'd never go there with my mother or go there with my children because it's not really a place that they should go. You know what? We're taking God with us. Men saw that God was in his walk. Men saw that God was in his work. God blessed Joseph in everything he did. And if we will remember that God is with us, it will help us remind us that God can help us with the temptations of life. God blesses Joseph. The Lord blessed Joseph and all he did. When our walk is with the Lord as it should be, men will see the hand of the Lord and the activity on our lives. Now, here's what we're trying to get at. And this is where we want to dwell for a second, is because if the Lord is with us, if we consciously live in the presence of God, consciously live in the presence of God, you stand before God all the time. God sees everything you do. Wouldn't that change the way you live? If your wife or your husband could see everything you did and everything you thought, wouldn't it change the way you lived or change the way you thought? Either that or you probably get divorced, one or the other. I mean, the truth is, we forget or we just don't care. And that means we have the wrong relationship with God. But if we get to this point in understanding, if you want to have victory over temptation, you got to say, you know what? The first thing I need to remember is the Lord is with me. God blesses Joseph. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's God blessing you. These people, Potiphar, he saw Joseph. He knew he was different. He saw Joseph's work. Joseph's work was different. Joseph was being blessed by God. And he saw it. He says, look, there's something different about this person. His light was shining. His light was shining in the very, very dark place of Egypt. In a very, very dark place as a slave in Potiphar's house, which I'm sure there was plenty of wickedness all around there because of his position, because of the great wealth he probably had. He shines as a light. And the question is, do people see you differently than to see the rest of the world? They will if you know that God's with you. Not just knowing that God is with you, but living your life that God is with you. And I know we have that. We hold to that promise. It's one of my favorite promises. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We grab a hold of that promise when things are bad and when things are tough. We grab a hold of it and we just hold on to it and say, I know God's here. I know God's here. He's not going to forsake me. He's not going to leave me. But what about everyday life when you're faced with a temptation? Do you realize God is right there? When you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at, you're putting God through it. When you're listening to something that you shouldn't be listening to, God is right there. When everything you do, he is right there. If you really want to have victory over temptation, you will remember this fact. The Lord is with you. You can't have victory over temptation unless he is with you. You need to be a Christian. You need to be a child of God. You need to be on your way to heaven. People knew about Joseph when they saw his testimony. They knew that God was with him. Do people see and know that God is with you? Because if there are certain things that you will not do or certain things you will not say, and you can say, I can't do that. God's with me. It's a simple thought. It's just, you know, we could spend and dwell an entire service on this. We could live, do you live consciously in the presence of God? You think about what it says in Psalms 1, 2, and 3. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What does that have to do? You read the story. Everything that Joseph does, he prospers in it. He shines as a light here. He's prospering. Why is he prospering? It's because he loves the Lord. Loves the Lord. Loves the Lord's law. Loves the Lord's word. Back then, he didn't have the written word of God. But he knew God was with him. If you're a believer here today, God is with you whatever you do. Are you living your life like that? Because if you live your life remembering that, boy, it will change how we live. Next thing I want you to think about is not only remembering that God is with you, but remember you're still going to be tempted. Remember you're still going to be tempted. You see this passage of scripture. You see that Potiphar sees it. God's blessing Potiphar because of Joseph's sake. And you would think, well, since people know that Joseph is different, they would leave him alone because he serves a different God. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice that no one would ever tempt you to do wrong because you were a believer, because you were a Christian, because you said that you stand on the word of God and you want to do what's right, that you'll never ever be tempted again? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. You know what? The world could care less about how your stand and your testimony. You think about it. In the day and time that we live in today, you know, the gay community doesn't care where we stand on the Bible. You know, the people that want to mock the Word of God and make jokes about the Word of God that's in primetime TV and is all throughout movies today. And we still watch it. Well, some of us still watch that. And you know why? We just don't live believing that God's with us. He is, but we don't live that way. Because if we lived that way, we wouldn't sit there and listen to someone use God's name in vain or mock God's word or mock the things of the Lord that he calls holy. And he says things are abomination. We wouldn't get a kick out of it. We wouldn't laugh about it. Instead, we would say, you know what, that's wrong. But the world's not going to care about our stand. The world's not going to care about how the fact we know that the Lord is with us. They're still going to tempt us. People are, guys, this Potiphar's wife did not care less that Joseph had a testimony. He says to her, and he tells her, he says flat out in verse number 8, he refused. He said no. He says the reason why is because he doesn't want to disappoint or do something wrong to Potiphar, but more importantly, he does not want to sin against God. So the answer was no. That means that Potiphar's wife is never going to come back and tempt him again. No. It says day by day, over and over. She continued on saying, lie with me, lie with me. Now, once again, this is a boy who had a great future as the number one son in Jacob's camp. A great future. And it was all taken away from him. And he's over in Egypt. And he's living there. And this temptation when this attractive woman, and once again, slaves back then, I don't know that much about the culture, but many times slaves are not able to get married. They were focused only on serving their master. And this woman is trying to be provocative to a young man. This is a great temptation here. And he says no. But the temptation doesn't go away. Well, I want you to understand, remember that God is with you. But I also want you to remember that you're going to be tempted. Joseph tells Potiphar's wife that he could not sin against God. That did not stop her. She wanted Joseph. If you're going to try to live remembering that God is with you, the devil is going to put a target on your back. The devil is going to do whatever he can to try to get you to slip up and get you to sin. You think about what the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Does he want you to put on the whole armor of God just so you can look good, so you can look pretty, so they can take pictures of you? No, it's so you can fight against the wiles of the devil. Because if you live your life believing that God is with you, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to put a target on your back, and he's going to try to take those wiles of the devil. He's going to try to tempt you. He's going to try to tempt you over and over and over. The Bible talks about in James chapter 1, it says about divers temptations. He's going to send various temptations. You know what? He couldn't get Joseph to be bitter at his brothers. He couldn't get Joseph to be disappointed and lazy at Potiphar's house. So you know what he does? He sends Potiphar's wife over. Remember, the devil is the one that tries to get us to do wrong. God is never going to tempt us with sin. The devil is going to send thing after thing after thing. If one thing doesn't work, you know what? He's going to send something out. I used this as an example before. You know what? The devil really could not tempt me with a drug. I don't have any interest in it. The devil could never really tempt me when it came to maybe drinking alcohol, because I've never done that. I don't really have any interest in it. Cigarettes. No, the devil couldn't tempt me with that. But you know what? There's other things the devil can tempt me with, and he does it over and over and over. That's why the Bible says that we are in a warfare, and that we must die daily. We must crucify ourselves with Christ, and we must understand that the devil's trying to hurt us. If you really truly want to have victory over temptation, it begins realizing God is with you, but also that the temptations are not going to stop then. It's going to continue on and on and on until the day you die. But what are you going to do with the temptation? Most people today have said, okay, I don't have any other choice but to sin. Temptation's too hard. Temptation's too strong. There's nothing I can do but give in to that temptation. And that's a lie the devil wants you to believe. The third thing is, here, remember you can have victory over the temptation. Remember you can have victory over temptation. I got four things here underneath this last point that help us maybe with this, having this victory over the battle with temptation. You see the Joseph story, and it helps us here. First thing I want you to understand is we need to meet temptation with a firm refusal. A firm refusal. Look what it says in verse number 8. It says, but he refused. I mean, it was a different situation, a different time. He didn't play around with the sin. When a temptation came to him, Joseph was ready with a firm no. The Bible doesn't say, but I am almost sure that Joseph had already settled in his heart. He already knew that the woman probably was liking him and staring at him and maybe flirting with him. He had already made the decision of what to do when the temptation was coming. He had already decided that he would go with God and stay away from sin. And when we allow our minds to be unprincipled and uncontrolled, you know what we do? We run the risk of giving in to the temptation, not being prepared for the attacks of the devil. What we need to say is, I'm making the decision, and it's going to be a firm no. And it means that in the heat of the moment, when the decision comes, and when the moment of temptation comes in your life, you have already decided that I'm going to say no. I tell you, we mostly know what our struggles are. We have been tempted by the devil maybe to watch something wrong, or have a wrong relationship, or maybe to do wrong things with our money, maybe to say the wrong things or have the wrong attitudes. We already know the situations that we're going to face many times. And the truth of the matter is, if we will have a firm refusal to begin with before the temptation ever comes, that I am going to say no. This is why you have to get on guard. That's why you got to protect your mind. This is why you need not to play around and excite sin and let it pollute you. Instead, you need to say no, just as those three boys at the fiery furnace did. They had all heard about this great idol. It was 90 feet tall. Of course they knew the idol was coming. Of course they knew when the king said, let's all go out in the field, they weren't just going to go look at it. He was going to expect them to bow down. They had already determined in their mind and their heart, we said, we're not going to bow down. Doesn't matter what they do to us. Doesn't matter what happens to us. When we get tempted to give in and be like everybody else, we've already made the decision. The answer is going to be no. Young people, sometime at some point in time in your life, you're going to face the idea whether or not you're going to remain pure until you're married. You know what? You need to make a decision. That answer is going to be no. You know, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to wait. You know, I think it was an eighth grade boy, I made the decision. God, at a chapel service, you know, the speaker said, hey, look, already decide in your heart that you're never going to drink, that you're never going to smoke, you're never going to do drugs, and you're never going to have sex before marriage. He says, make that decision now, because the temptation is going to come. And when the temptation comes, you can just say no, because you already made the decision because of what God told you to do. Now, hey, we got another step here, is that you know what you struggle with. You know what you face. And it could be attitudes, it could be bitterness, it could be something outwardly. It could be something that you know that you struggle with. You need to determine in your heart that you don't want to disappoint God anymore. And if the answer is going to be no. It's not just a firm refusal to meet the temptation with a faith-based refusal. First, Joseph refused on the ground that Potiphar had placed him in a position of power because he trusted him. He refused to violate that trust. However, the very foundation of Joseph's refusal was his walk with God. He knew that God was with him, and he knew by committing adultery with this woman might bring pleasure in the short term, but in the long term, it would mean violating the trust Potiphar had placed in him, but more importantly, it would breach the relationship with God. And even if Potiphar never found out, Joseph knew that God would know, and he knew that Joseph would know. He would live with guilt. I tell you, there is no sin, not one sin, not one, no matter how good it you might think it feels, worth hurting your relationship with God. There is nothing worth it. Tonight we're going to preach a message, a little bit about a message of getting where God is at. And one of the thoughts or one of the points is that many times we allow sin to mess up our relationship, and we need to be in that spot where God is. We want to be with God. We want to be in His presence. We want that, as we talked about yesterday with the ladies, the sweeter side of life. And there is not one sin worth hurting your fellowship with God. There is nothing worth it. And I think David understood this. It's a faith-based refusal. He came to the spot. This temptation was not just something that do I want to do it? Do I want to give in? Do I not want to give in? Do I really hurt this guy's feelings? You know, do I want to disappoint Potiphar? What if they found out? It's not that at all. He says it here at the end of verse number 9. And sin against God. Next thing I want you to think about, not only do you need to meet temptation with a firm refusal and a faith-based refusal, because we do not want to sin against God, His integrity before men, His walk before God, His ability to look in the mirror without guilt was more than Joseph than any few minutes of pleasure could bring him. But it was a faithful refusal. A faithful refusal. Every day. It says every day, day by day. You know what she did? She continued on. Over and over. Asking it. Look what it says in verse number 10. It came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Every day this woman tempted Joseph. You know, it wouldn't be great if you overcame the temptation one time and never came back. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if you didn't get angry once, or you didn't get bitter once, or you forgave somebody one time, or you gave the offering the way you were supposed to one time, and you never had that temptation to do wrong again. Man, that would be great. You know what? Someday in heaven, we're not going to have that temptation at all. But we're going to have to understand, like it was point number 2, we are still going to get tempted. Even when we meet that firm refusal and that faith-based refusal, doesn't mean that Satan's going to be, oh, I'm scared and leave. He's going to continue coming back day after day after day. Every day this woman tempted Joseph, and every day he steadfastly refused her advances. He did not resort to mind games like, well, if the Lord didn't want me to do this, He would just take me away from here. He just faithfully stood for the Lord and against evil. We need to get this truth. Temptation is going to come, and God is not going to take it away all the time. He will strengthen us. He will enable us to stand against us. He will give us a way to fight it. He will give us a way of escape, but we need to learn to take a stand. If you see something here in verse number 10, it says here at the end, he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. You know what it's saying here? That Joseph made a decision because he wanted to remain faithful. He chose not to even be around her. It says it at the end there, or to be with her. I don't think it's talking about being with her sexually, because that's what it's talking about, being lying with her. He may have decided that he was going to get to a place where he was going to physically avoid her at all costs. This is a great step. Avoiding sin through temptation is not to flirt with it. Don't try to prove you can handle it. Never come to the place where you think you have it whipped. If something is a temptation to you, then avoid it like the plague. Avoid it at all costs. Avoid the temptation that some places and some things will cause you to do. You know, so many times, like I said, we just think we're going to have to sin, that we've given up and we've given in, and we don't even fight the temptation anymore. It was a faithful refusal. And last but not least, it was a final refusal. A final refusal. So the big day comes. I don't know if this woman orchestrated that no one else was going to be in the house or what exactly all the details was, but it came to the spot that Joseph's in the house alone with this woman. As much as he's tried his best to just flat out and be firm about it, even use God and say, I'm not going to sin against God, and he is faithful doing it over and over, it comes to the spot where the temptation is either I'm going to do it or not do it. It comes to the day of reckoning. He gives a final refusal. It says here, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment. He spins out of his robe. He runs out of the house, leaving her holding the garment. Joseph literally ran away from Potiphar's wife to preserve his character. You cannot have it both ways. You can either give in to the sin and pay the price for your pleasure, or you can run from temptation and protect your testimony. What are you doing? Are you truly trying to have victory over temptation? I know sometimes sin has involved in our hearts for so long, and we've dealt with something for so long, we just don't think we can have victory. We've given up. We've thrown in the towel. You know what we've forgotten? I still think it goes back to the fact that we've forgotten the Lord is with us. Because if we remember the Lord is with us, you know what's going to happen? We're going to remember that God can give us victory. The Lord is the one that can keep the godly out of temptation. The Lord is the one that can provide the way of escape. We forget that He is with us, and we just continue on living in sin, and the Lord is there with us while we're doing it. Also, what are you doing with your temptations today? We can fight it. We can remember the Lord is with us. We can say, you know what, He's going to keep on tempting me. If I give in this once, He's going to keep on coming back. If I say no, He's still going to keep on coming back. But do we really believe that we can have victory? I remind you of the verses I said earlier. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. What are you doing with your temptations? Stories told about a little boy is asked by a shopkeeper. He says, what are you doing there, son? The little boy, whose eyes were on a large basket of apples outside the storefront, he's just staring at him. He said, you trying to steal one of my apples? He said, no, sir, I'm trying not to. He said, I'm trying my best not to steal. He said, if I wanted to steal, I would have already done it. You know what the little boy should have done? He should have walked away. Yeah, the devil is so good at tempting us. He tempted Eve with that with that fruit. He tempted Abel and Cain with doing things his own way. Temptation is not going away. How are you going to deal with it? You need God's help. This morning, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, meaning that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get that settled. You need to get that right. Jesus Christ came to this world. He died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again so we could have a heavenly home, but also so we could have victory in this world today. Is there any temptations that you have just given into and said, you know what? I can't have victory. I give up. I'm just going to give in. I'm going to keep on being bitter. I'm going to keep on being rebellious. I'm going to keep on looking at that, listening to that, having that wrong relationship. I'm going to keep on not being faithful. I'm going to keep on. There's a long list of sins. You don't need me tell them all to you, because you know exactly what you're dealing with. You know exactly what you've been tempted with. Question is, what are you doing with the temptation? Remember the Lord is with you. Remember the temptation is going to keep on coming. But remember you can have victory over that temptation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.